Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. On yesterday's broadcast, I began a message and laid a foundation, or introduction, if you will, to a message I've entitled, Aspiring to the Will of God. And I believe we can learn some wonderful lessons from the book of Nehemiah as it relates to our personal destiny, the things that God desires for us in our own personal lives regarding walking in the will of God. And by that, of course, I'm not referring to God's moral will, in other words, the things we should do, not do, because His moral law is outlined in the Word of God. But I'm speaking to those decisions, those choices, those goals that we have before us. And perhaps I should say that God many times aligns His will for our lives with the desires He has put in our hearts. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. There's two different ways of looking at that. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the things that delight your heart. But as you delight yourself in the Lord, those very desires are the desires He puts in your heart. It's a wonderful, delightful paradox and mystery, but that's how He works. And as we seek to do His will, as we seek His face, He will bring to pass those things that He wants to see accomplished in and through our lives. And as I said, many times they're tied with our desires. Those desires are tied with our giftings, even if we may not be aware of what those giftings are. But in order to qualify that, I perhaps should say that sometimes God will ask us to do things that we don't really want to do. We might feel unqualified. We may feel inept. We may feel that we don't have the faith for that, or it's too big of a challenge. And I can testify in my own life. I mean, when God called me, I had no idea He was calling me to the ministry. I was just in love with Jesus, and I was happy to do whatever He asked, because by basic personality and background, I was very insecure, and the last thing I ever wanted to do was speak in front of people. And I sometimes joke, I'm making up for lost time. I would never open my mouth. Well, you see, God has so, and it was very difficult for me to do anything in the way of public ministry. And so there may be things God's asking you to do that it's like, oh no, I don't want to do that. And they say the worst fear that people have is that of public speaking. We're uncomfortable in social settings generally, unless you're just an out-and-out extrovert. It's hard for you to maybe go up and start a conversation with someone. But you see, when the love of God constrains us, when we not only love the Lord so much we want to walk in His pleasure for our lives, but when we begin to have His heart and compassion and love people, we will reach out. It's not a difficult, it's not a hard thing. It becomes a joyous thing because you're partnering with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever felt that sense that when you've done something that God wanted you to do, you'd have that sense of, well done, child? That was good. I mean, we all need that kind of encouragement. And God wants us to be His encouragement in this earth. There's such a great need for that. Anyway, we need to get going in the Word of God, because I can go on and on and on. But we want to look at the book of Nehemiah, not in its entirety, but just at some high points. And I'd like to share just a few verses from the 12th chapter of Nehemiah. That's toward the end of the book. And I'm just going to skip and read a few verses. Verse 27, and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, see, the wall had already been built, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. Verse 31. This is Nehemiah speaking. Then I brought up the princes of Judah, the civic leaders, upon the walls, and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate. Verse 40, let's take a look at that. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me. Verse 42, the bottom portion of that verse, and the singers sang loud with Jezrahiah over their overseer. And verse 42 and 43, that was 42 and 43, says, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. What I've shared with you are just a few highlights of an exciting sound of celebration. However, what we see, as we see it's as Nehemiah's ending his chronicle, he's sharing what happened, what God did from the beginning to the end. There's songs of praise and thanksgiving, along with, I didn't share, but they were giving gifts, which were real sacrifices, but they gave them joyously. And so we're hearing exciting sounds of rejoicing and thanksgiving, sounds of celebration, but this was not the case in the beginning. Let me share from the very first verse of Nehemiah, verses 2 to 4. And there was one of his brethren, Nehemiah's brethren, Hananiah, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. He wanted to know how things were back home. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Here was a nation of people that were in dire trouble and deep shame. And there obviously were people crying out to God. And God sent a man. His name was Nehemiah. And when he went, they obeyed. And their trouble and their shame was turned into gladness and singing. Jerusalem was a city of broken, gateless walls. But when God moved on the scene and the people obeyed, things began to change. The people were in a terrible condition. And beloved, we look around at the world, we see things are very bad. I'm not saying that the church is going to correct them. Things will never be fully corrected until the King returns. But what is important is we do what God would have us do. The kingdom is within us, and we bring that kingdom wherever we go, and we can share news that the King is coming, and we can offer hope, and we can offer the way to salvation. We can preach the good news. There's no good news out there in the world, but we have good news. The people in that time, even though they were God's people, God has fulfilled his word. They came back after those 70 years that had been prophesied by Jeremiah, but they were concerned with getting enough grain to eat and just staying alive. They had to do everything they possibly could just to pay the king's tax. Beloved, the devil is a hard taskmaster when you serve him. He exacts from your life everything you have, including your very life. The people were surrounded with enemies. It looked like it couldn't get any worse. You might think that as they built the walls and restored the gates and sang their songs, that the other people around their borders would applaud them. But this was not the case. They did all things to the jeers of their neighbors. Beloved, don't think that when you set your face as a flint to do the will of God, whatever it is, however he speaks to you, and I will say it again, don't feel that you're so insignificant. Don't feel that what you do or don't do, it matters eternally. What you do influencing one life, just think of those who have changed history in terms of the history of the church, how their life was brought to the place it was through the intercession, through the witness, through the help of perhaps just one person. History doesn't know their name, but God does. And so do not, in the name of Jesus, feel that what you have to do, oh, well, Sister Glass, I'm up in years, and what can I do? I mean, all I can do is pray. All you can do is pray? My goodness. If it wasn't for prayer, my goodness. Do you know World War II was changed? Was the tide was turned by the prayers of intercessors in England? Do you know that? England would have been overrun, but for those who were praying. I'm telling you, we have a God who hears and answers prayer. And it's not the ones that have got the limelight, not those that the spotlight is on, but it's the ones, what seems to be insignificant, the weak members. God has chosen to confound the things that are mighty in the world. So be encouraged. Hallelujah. There's so much more I want to share, but I can see I better wait to share. There's some passages in the fourth chapter we want to look at, but we'll do that tomorrow. And there was much opposition. He was absolutely in the will of God. So I just want to encourage you, if you are walking in the will of God, if you've started out and there's just like, all hell is breaking loose, don't be surprised, because just be encouraged. The devil knows that his very kingdom is being threatened. And so be encouraged in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, my time is coming to a close, and I just want to take these few moments to let you know how much I love you and thank you for your prayer support, for your intercession. Partners, if it wasn't for your faithful, sacrificial giving, we could not continue on as we have for over 50 years. I love you. I pray for you every day, including my radio family. Some of you I've never met. Some of you have never written. You're not part of my, quote, spiritual family, those that we interact all the time through correspondence. But if you feel the prompting of the Lord, obey that soft, gentle nudging, because he's got a reason and a purpose for you doing it. And of course, I'm here always to stand with you in prayer, whatever those needs are. I love you. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh.